Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. We have a lot of good things in store for this show. We are going to be discussing one of the most famous cemeteries in the country. If it's one you haven't been to, well, shame on you. It needs to be on your list. We are also going to be discussing one of the most visited graves in America because it's one of the most famous people in America. We're also going to share another cemetery hunting tip with you that will make you very comfortable and, again, may actually save your life. We are also going to be discussing one of the coolest veterans memorials that I have ever laid eyes on. We are going to be discussing another cemetery symbol, and I am going to tell you one of the most intriguing tales that happened to us and our encounters when we discovered the oldest graves in the city of Louisville. All that and so much more on this episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the NecroTourist at all of your favorite social media outlets. Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter. You think of it, we're there.
All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, I guess it was pretty popular in the previous show, so I'm going to answer some more emails. This one came from Butch in Alexandria, Virginia. And Butch said, what is your favorite cemetery that you've been to in Virginia? Well, I have to tell you, Butch, we have been to several places there. We've been to Manassas. We've been to your hometown there of Alexandria. We've also been to Lee's Grave and a few others. But I think hands down, it has to be the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia. I mean, there's two presidents there, a boatload of famous people. There's Confederates and regular U.S. Army Civil War generals alike. There's just it's history galore, as well as a lot of incredible monuments. So, yeah, it's definitely it. Okay, the next one, this one comes from Marcia in Springfield, Ohio. Okay, that's just north of us, not that far away. Do you guys ever visit battlefield monuments? Yeah, we do, actually, Marcia. We've been to quite a few. We make that one of the points. If we're in a city, we make that a point to stop. We've been to quite a few. And of course, like a lot of people, we made sure that we visited Gettysburg, and we spent 2 days in Gettysburg, and let me tell you, that isn't enough. If you've got time to go to Gettysburg, then make sure you spend 3-4 days there. That's definitely something we do. So yes, absolutely, you can check some of those things out on the NecroTourist website. Okay, and here we go, our final one. Oh, this is somebody who's really local. This comes from Patty, who is in Covington, Kentucky. What is your favorite cemetery in the Cincinnati area? Charlotte, you should have prepped me for this question. I wasn't ready for this. In the Cincinnati area, I think it'd be obvious if I said Spring Grove because it's one of the best. But I don't know. I kind of really enjoy one in your backyard there, Patty. Evergreen in Southgate, Kentucky, because it's one of the largest in the area. It's hugely historical in northern Kentucky, and it's one you should definitely check out. So there you go. There's the three emails that I have for this week. If you'd like to contact me, you can get to me on Facebook, or you can email me at thenecrotourist@thefuneralsource.org.
Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery Podcast.
Join us each week as we explore old cemeteries and the stories of the people buried in them.
It's history, it's spooky, it's good old-fashioned undead fun for the whole family. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, we are going to talk about a veterans memorial that I visited in 2017, located in Springfield, Illinois. Yes, that's Springfield. And this memorial is located right on the corner of the Oak Ridge Cemetery, which is where Abraham Lincoln is buried, or actually entombed. Now, this is a very impressive monument. There were huge markers for each war, giant globe, huge individual soldiers, all kinds of things that were going on. It is a, again, there is a World War I memorial, World War II memorial. These things are put right on the corner of the street, so you don't really have the ability to drive up to them. It's more of a walking experience. One of my favorite features is the large 7-foot gray granite obelisk that has the large globe on top of it. That is absolutely amazing. Etched on all four sides are the names of the 112 Sangamon County soldiers and a nurse who died in World War I. The World War II monument was dedicated in 2004, and it's set up to honor the nearly million people who died from the state of Illinois in World War II. It's an impressive monument with all the battles in each theater are listed on the granite black walls. There is also the Illinois Purple Heart Memorial that was dedicated in 2016. There is also the Korean War Memorial site honoring the 1,748 Illinoisans. Aren't you the Illini? I'm not sure. Somebody correct me. Hit me up on a message and let me know. Okay, back to my point. These were the people who fought in the Korean War. There is a 12-foot bronze bell that is there. There is also a Vietnam memorial that was dedicated in 1988. There are nearly 3,000 people who died in the Vietnam conflict. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those things that when you go to the Oak Ridge Cemetery to see President Lincoln, you get obsessed by that, and certainly you should, but you must make a sidetrack over to the Illinois Veterans Memorial. It is worth every moment you will spend. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the announcement for the contest. If you are trying to win our Sugar Skull t-shirt, then this is what you need to do. Go to the Facebook page for the Cemetery Podcast, which is facebook.com/cemetery-podcast. Like the page. Then go down to the photos and you will find the picture of the Crazy Horse Memorial. When you do, like the picture, and in the comments section, tag yourself. If you tag yourself in the photo and like the page, you are then entered for the contest. We will be drawing for the contest winner at the end of February. You can be a winner with the Cemetery Podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Cemetery Podcast. Right now, we are going to do what is called the Feature Cemetery. Today's Feature Cemetery is going to be one of the world-famous cemeteries in necro traveling. It is none other than the Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis, Indiana. Crown Hill Cemetery was established in 1863. And it is 555 acres, and it is the third largest non-governmental cemetery in the USA. It has approximately 225,000 burials, and they do approximately 1,500 a year. It was added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 1973. It was built on top of Strawberry Hill, a summit that was later renamed the Crown. And it is the highest point of the cemetery, and it is overlooking the city of Indianapolis. And it is a nice, nice view when you get up there. The cemetery was built in the rural garden style by Pittsburgh landscape architect John Chislett, who later became the superintendent, as well as Cincinnati horticulturalist and cemetery designer Adolph Stoch. Now, in 1866, they added the National Cemetery, which was 1.4 acres. That's sections 9 and 10. They've also added 4 acres for the Field of Valor, which is Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans. They also have the Confederate Mound, which is in section 32, that is. This is kind of interesting. It was from the POW camp of Camp Morton. And in 1931, they reinterred the guys there. And then later, they added a memorial for the 1,600 people that are buried there. Interesting thing. There's actually all kinds of things in this place. There is the AIDS Memorial. There is the Heroes of Public Safety Memorial. There is the Medical Science Donor Memorial. There is also another cemetery that's located inside the cemetery, one of the old pioneer cemeteries. Now, when you're talking about famous people, they got famous people like crazy. They have, number one, they have, I'm just going to roll off this list. It's going to be amazing when you think about this. Benjamin Harrison. And I know some of you don't know Benjamin Harrison is a president, as Jimmy Kimmel attested to recently. But yes, Benjamin Harrison, who was the 23rd president of the United States, he's buried there. There are several vice presidents that are buried there. Indiana's known for their vice presidents, really. Charles Fairbanks is there. Thomas Hendricks is there, as well as Thomas Marshall. There are 11 Indiana governors. There is a Kentucky governor, a Vermont governor, 12 senators, 9 congressmen, and a partridge in a... No, 21 Indianapolis mayors, 9 Civil War Union generals, 2 Medal of Honor recipients, and I'm still just getting started. Now we're going to talk about the racing people. We have the Allisons, Frank Wheeler, Arthur Newby, Carl Fisher. These are the guys that founded the Indianapolis Speedway. Then there are other Indianapolis 500 winners like Floyd Davis and Lewis Schneider and Howdy Wilcox. Then there's also Irwin Cannonball Baker, a world record-setting motorcyclist. Then, now there's other names you hear of, like Robert Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts. Colonel Eli Lilly, yeah, of Eli Lilly Pharmaceuticals, one and the same. He's there. There is also Booth Tarkenton, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He is right there. Sarah Bolton, poet. Also, James Baskett. James Baskett, the actor. You know, you're looking at yourself going, James Baskett, who do I... James Baskett, he's Uncle Remus. Uncle Remus is buried at Crown Hill. It's crazy, isn't it? It's just amazing. Also, NFL's Stacey Torin is there. 2 Olympic gold medalists. Howard Garnes, the inventor of Sudoku. And I haven't even told you the most famous people that are there yet. Now I have to let you know that amazing, influential, award-winning poet James Whitcomb Riley, who is there. He is buried at the very top of the Crown Hill Summit, an amazing outdoor monument with columns and a statue and all kinds of things. It is absolutely fantastic. He was buried there in 1917. It's amazing. It truly, he is at the crown of the crown. But the one person that everyone goes to see no matter what, no matter who you are, they all go to see John Dillinger. That's right. John Dillinger is buried at Crown Hill. Legendary outlaw bank robber. John Dillinger is buried at Crown Hill Cemetery. It is amazing the amount of reasons that you should go to Crown Hill. I am thankful that I live only 90 minutes away from it, and I've been there several times. I would very much encourage you to spend a day there. I probably would encourage you to spend 2. And if you have 3, it's definitely going to be worth your time. This is a very necro-traveler-friendly cemetery. I've been there for events. I've been there for tours. I do tours there. I've had a good time there. And if you go to the Crown Hill Cemetery, I can guarantee you will enjoy every minute of it.
You know, some of our friends have been working hard to bring awareness to our favorite subject. That is cemeteries. And that is the gals in the graveyard. You know, they're a pair of lady conservationists who enjoy a little bit of gallows humor. Be sure to join their journey. Like and subscribe by going to galsinthegraveyard.com. Gals in the Graveyard, bringing life to death.
Here's the Necrotourist with another cemetery hunting tip.
All right, Necro Travelers, here's another cemetery hunting tip that I am going to give to you that is not only going to make your life more comfortable, once again, this tip might actually save your life. Now, sometimes I know you're out and about and you're randomly running into a cemetery, but when you're planning on a trip and you're in a location, a lot of times you start your day in the morning, early in the morning, when the cemetery is still moist and full of dew. Now, if you end up getting your shoes wet, your whole morning is gonna be really nasty because by around lunchtime, you're gonna have trench foot going on. So, let me tell you two things that you can do, actually three, that will make a difference. Number one, get yourself an extra pair of shoes. A pair of shoes that you just keep in your trunk that are in a plastic bag that are ready to go as a backup to use as the pair of shoes that you can get wet. B, you can get yourself a pair of rubber boots, whether it be the kind you keep that you slip your foot into or whether it be the kind that your shoe slips into like the old galoshes. Those are getting a little harder to find. And C, put a pair of dry socks in each of those items inside of your galoshes and or your extra pair of shoes. That way, if the socks you're actually wearing get wet, you'll have one, possibly two, backup pairs of socks. Those may potentially keep you from getting a cold and getting sick and may actually save your life. I hope that tip will help you.
Be sure to check out the Necrotourist website at necrotourist.com. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/necrotourist.
All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, we are going to focus on this week's featured famous grave. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the top five most visited graves in the United States every year. And it's an easy one to visit. We're going to give you simple instructions to get you right to where it is. But today we're going to be talking about none other than Al Capone. That's right, Alphonse G. Capone, Scarface himself, public enemy number one. We are going to tell you where to go and how to visit him. Al Capone died in January of 1947, and he was buried on February the 4th at the Mount Carmel Catholic Cemetery in Hillside, Illinois, in Cook County, which is one of the suburban areas of Chicago. Now, your tip to get directly to Al's grave is to make sure that you enter from the Roosevelt Avenue gate. When you do, immediately make a right, and about six graves down on your right, you will see an upright grave that is about 8-ish to 10 feet tall. And when you do, you will see that there are two bushes around it, and you will see the name Capone. That's when you stop your car and get out, or if you're walking, that's where you stop. When you walk up, you will actually see the Capone family marker, and then you will see Al Capone's individual flat grave marker. It simply says Alphonse Capone, birth year and death date. Now, it's pretty cool because while we were there, a lot of people leave homages and memorials to him. We saw several whiskey bottles and cigars and things of that nature. People often leave pennies and other trinkets, and a lot of people actually leave quarters. Now, one of the reasons they say that happens is because Capone was known to flip quarters. But it is actually one of the biggest draws in Mount Carmel, and it is one of the most photographed grave sites in the cemetery. As I mentioned at the top of this, it's also one of the top five visited graves in America. So hopefully if you intend to visit Al Capone and make him a Necro Traveler stop, then hopefully we've helped you out.
I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com.
Hello, boys and girls, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Cemetery Symbols. Today, we are going to be doing one of the most obvious, none other than the Weeping Willow. Yes, that's right. It is known as the Weeping Willow because it is known and associated with weeping, grieving. It is associated with immortality and sorrow. And it has been known to say that a woman who is mourning a lost mate is someone who is in her willows. Now you know. So if you're weeping under the willow tree, then you are likely mourning or grieving a lost loved one.
Hey, Necro Travelers, do you have a good idea for a show? Or do you want to be a podcaster? It's really simple, and all you got to do is go to anchor.fm. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. You could be the next podcast star.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to what is my favorite part of the podcast, is when I do enjoy sharing, things you need to see, but I do enjoy telling you the stories of the insane things that have happened to us over the years. Now, this is a segment that I am going to call The Saints of Louisville. And this is one of those stories that's going to make you go, what the French lick was he just talking about? This is, now you live in Louisville, you probably don't know about this either. So I'm just telling you. Now, as I tell you this story, I have a barrage of facts that are in front of me because I most certainly could not remember all of this stuff. I could tell you the story of how it happened and what happened, but the actual story, the true story, I'm going to have to intertwine facts and history with you. And I also will tell you that I may have some mispronunciations and other things of that nature. I am sorry. I apologize ahead of time, but I am going to tell you this is a crazy story. Okay. So here we are in Louisville, Kentucky. We're wrapping up shooting several cemeteries for the day, and there's a lot of Catholic cemeteries down there. Now, many of you know that a lot of the very religious cemeteries lock their actual gates. I don't know why it's the case. Jewish cemeteries do it. Catholic cemeteries, these guys all have a tendency to lock the gates either at 4 o'clock or like 5 o'clock. So we proceed. We're at Calvary Cemetery in the Ville, and we are getting, you know, there's only a few minutes to go, and we shoot 5, 6, 7, 8 pictures at the front of the gate, and the caretaker is getting ready to lock the gate, and as he's doing so, I'm still trying to shoot some pictures of the front gate, whether I'm inside or not. So he actually turns to me and he says, hey, you know, if you guys want, I can tell you where the oldest graves, or the oldest, yeah, that's what he said, the oldest graves in Louisville are. I'm looking at him thinking, okay, well, that's cool and all, but at this point, we've been to the Ville several times. I mean, we live in Cincinnati. We're only 90 minutes away. We've been to Louisville probably as many times as we've been to anywhere, really. And I'm thinking, we've been to several old pioneer cemeteries there, and I'm pretty sure we've been to the oldest burial. And he tells me, no, he goes, I'm going to tell you, the oldest burial is located downtown. And he said, it's located at the church. I'm thinking, the church again? What the French lick is this guy talking about? He gives us the address of the location, and he proceeds to tell us a little bit of this preface, but we're uncertain of exactly what he's talking about. And we find out he says you need to go to the St. Martin of Tours Catholic Church. So we proceed down there. Now, the St. Martin of Tours Church, it's located downtown. It's on Shelby Street. It's on Shelby Street, that is. It is one of the oldest parishes in Louisville. It was founded by German immigrants in 1853. And it is one of the oldest buildings in Louisville. Now, actually, it's pretty cool when you go up. There's several things to see. There's a marker for one of the priests who actually was there. It was Herbert Phil Holter. Crazy name. He was born in Louisville, but he was a priest that served with the Franciscans. And he was also a captain in the chaplain corps for the army in World War II. He received the Bronze Star, and he was honored by the National Chaplains Association, and he is buried at St. Michael's, which is in Louisville as well. Okay, another thing that's cool is you're heading into the church, but you'll notice this as you go to visit. There is a big statue that's there. It was dedicated by the Westerman family, and is a big cross with the crucifix and such. You can't miss this. Now, once you get inside, you're going to see like this monstrous organ inside of there. That is one of the amazing features of the church. But the true stars of the place, and which is why there is the oldest burials in all of Louisville, is because as you approach the altar, you will then see the Saints of Louisville. And I am not kidding you, ladies and gentlemen. Encased in glass are the bones of martyrs wearing crowns and wearing silk and velvet robes. That's right. Skeletons and all are on display. Let me give you a little background. In 1901, the church acquired these full skeletal relics of these two early Christian martyrs. They are Magnus and Bonosa. Magnus and Bonosa. They are housed in glass. They are on two sides of the altar. Magnus is on the left and Bonosa is on the right. Each of these saints have their own day. Bonosa's is July 15th. Magnus is August 19th. These guys are important saints, actually. Magnus was a Roman centurion, and he was a martyr, and he died, and he was believed to be converted by Bonosa, who was a Roman virgin and also a martyr. It is believed that they were put to death by Emperor Diocletian. I'm not hip on my ancient Roman emperors there. This is in the 3rd century, and they were persecuted because they were Christians. It's actually the belief that these guys were killed in the Colosseum with their brother and sister. Their remains were then interred in a catacomb in Pontiani, Italy. Pontiani, Italy. I don't know. I'm not good on my Italian either. Okay, they were there with the nuns that were in Agnani. This was in Rome. This is starting to be a long, convoluted story at this point. But, however, they were being held in this convent with the nuns. The Italian government decided that they wanted to get the land back, so they took this monastery away from the nuns. So when this happened, with permission from Pope Leo XIII, the bones were then shipped to Francis Zabler, who was the pastor of the St. Martin of Tours Church, because he had actually petitioned to be able to get the relics when they were being kicked out of the Italian monastery. They actually arrived here in 1901, and they were then taken to St. Martin's, where they were put under glass. They actually arrived on December 31st, 1901. They are actually located on both sides of the altar. And there is like wording that is on top of these guys. The pastor sent a letter of gratitude saying, "We thank God and his saints for the great treasures which are most to us than gold and silver and diamonds. May St. Bonoza and St. Magnus, in their third resting place at St. Martin's, rest in peace until the great resurrection morning. Let us, as children of St. Martin's, honor these relics, emulate their example, beseeching them to assist us to profess our faith heroically until death. So that's some deep stuff. Now, in 2012, the graves are restored, and they were both solemnly reinterred, and they did a high mass in extraordinary form. And some of these things you can find out if you go to their website. This St. Martin of Tours Church.org. They have a lot of information about what goes on. But I am going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when I was getting ready to leave the Calvary Cemetery and a guy said to me, "You will see the oldest graves in Louisville," I thought he was crazy. When he said that they were nearly 1,400 years old, I thought he was crazy. Turns out he wasn't crazy at all. I just had to see it to believe it. And if you go to the St. Martin of Tours Church in Louisville, Kentucky, you can see it and believe it too. I appreciate everybody joining me for today's show. I hope you had a good time. I hope you learned a lot. And hopefully you'll visit some of the necrotourism locations we discussed on today's show. I would like to thank my partners in this cemetery ventures, Charlotte Graves, Senior Bull, our announcer, Ray Morales, other participants and contributors to the show. I also would like to thank you all for joining me. If you would like to contact me, you can do so at Facebook, The Necrotourist, or at Cemetery-Podcast. You can also find us on the website and a few other locations. You can find us on YouTube. Remember, this is the audio version of the show, and we will have the video version in the next couple of days. So I appreciate you joining me, and until next time, for the Cemetery Podcast and the Necrotourist, this is Ken Negley saying, I'll see you in the yard.